Shouldn't be cold at all. Okay.
The sky is not cold.
No, the sky is not cold.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We're starting now. We are good to go.
Pants.
Did you run down?
Half
left. Alright, we're in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation.
No, just this.
Just those chickens.
Oh, Edward and...
There's Edward's sick.
Oh.
So... Alright, let's see how far we can get here on these two chapters. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. Notice a very strong verse. Revelation 6:17 says, For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What one of the things...
Did you want to take a picture of all that?
I already did, thanks. One of the important things that's divided a lot of modern-day Christians is the concept of the rapture. And to most of the Reformation, the rapture was a blur. They never understood the Jews going back into their land. They never understood the promises of multiple comings of Jesus. They have a first coming, they have a second coming. And they never imagined that Jesus would come back for his bride. They didn't even really understand the bride concept. When it comes to one of the things that you'll learn as we go through, and we see this period of time called the tribulation. And the tribulation is how long, Sarah? How many years does the tribulation last?
7.
It is a 7-year-long time period. And those 7 years are divided in half by a very important event, and that is the crowning or the claiming of the Antichrist as the Messiah, right in the middle. And he sets himself up on the throne, on a throne, on the mercy seat in the rebuilt temple. And to most people today, back in the 70s, the pre-tribulational rapture, the going up of Christians before the beginning of the tribulation, this is called pre-tribulational or pre-tribulation rapture. Now, what happens is 70s, 80s, 90s, this was extremely popular. It was easy to believe. But some people started to say, that's not true, because they started to read Matthew chapter 24, good morning. And merging Jews and Gentiles together, Christians, and making... There is a rapture out here at the end of the tribulation. And... they say this doesn't exist. All believers go here, and they call it the pre-wrath rapture. Now, that's kind of funny, because the wrath is what's called the Battle of Armageddon. What is an Armageddon?
The last battle?
It is a battle. It's not the very last battle. There is one out called the Battle of Gog and Magog, way out in the end. But the Battle of Armageddon is the second coming, all right? So if you want to call it something, that's at the time when Jesus comes back. He judges the nations. It is a huge battle. So this huge battle is referred to some people as God's... This is the culmination of God's wrath, and so all Christians go up there. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Look there in verse 17. We're looking at the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Way before Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 describes the Battle of Armageddon. So we're way before that, and we already have his wrath. I'm just giving you some things to stir away in your mind, and all these pieces will hopefully fit together in time. So, the beginning of the tribulation. Now we're going to start back here at the beginning of the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 4, what's the first thing that happened? When I saw a door open in heaven, I heard the words, "Come up hither." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven. So John shows us exactly how the rapture is going to occur. That's Revelation chapter 4. We are now in Revelation chapter 6. And from 6 all the way through to Revelation 19 is the tribulation. So let's learn some things about the tribulation. We're about to begin a study of chapter 6 to 19, which match what is called, all right, write these words down, Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week. And we're going to need to go to Daniel chapter 9 and see this. Daniel chapter 9. And Sarah, would you read those verses, chapter 9, verses 20 to 27? What are you looking for?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Daniel chapter 9. Go ahead.
And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was sleeping and speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the 11th evening oblation.
What's an oblation?
I don't know.
Sacrifice.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression.
All right, go slow. Oh. It's going to finish the transgression. Okay, go ahead.
70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity.
Okay.
And to bring in everlasting righteousness.
Fitting. To bring in everlasting righteousness.
And to seal up the vision and prophecy.
Okay.
And to anoint the most holy.
All right. Go ahead, keep going.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
All right. Is that what it is? Keep going.
No. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
All right. Now, he says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Question. Who are Daniel's people?
Israel.
All right. All right. So 70 weeks for Israel. Not Christians. Not the church. But the Jew. So this is 70 weeks for Israel. We're running through. And now I'm doing seven. That's 70 weeks. So we've got, these are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 weeks, 60 weeks, 70 weeks. All right? So there's a lot of weeks. Know therefore, understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Here is when the commandment happens to go and rebuild Jerusalem, which is done under Cyrus the king. until who? Unto the Messiah are how many weeks? No.
60.
Mm-hmm. And how many weeks?
2 weeks.
Actually, you're going to have to add 7 more to that, because it actually says, it takes your Bible, okay? Verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. You got 70 weeks to finish. There's another illustration where this would come into play. When God said to Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to give man, and he says, 120 years. That's all he says. You've got 120 years. You've got there's going to be a flood. It's going to be the end of the world in 120 years. Now, Noah built the ark in how many years?
100 years.
He built it. He was 500 when he started. He was 600 when he finished. So he got it built before God's due date was. And God said, good, I'll just judge the earth now. So in the same way, God says, you've got 120 years. He did it with Nineveh. He said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. So there are some times when there is an end described. This will be the end. All right. You'll anoint the most holy, which will be anointing Jesus as a Messiah. Seal up all vision and prophecy. No more visions or prophecies. Bring in the everlasting righteousness. Has that happened yet? Not at all. Reconciliation for iniquity of Israel? Not fully done yet. Been done for me, but not for Israel. To make an end of sins? Has that happened yet? Not at all. So this is yet to happen. So this 70th week, notice, the last 7 days of 70 weeks of 7 days. Are you getting it? Is it kind of complicated? So, we're actually looking not at actually days and weeks. What are we looking at? Years. So, that Daniel's 70th week, 70 weeks, is the same as saying 70 times 7, which is how many? 490. Right? So, 490 weeks. Or sorry, 490 days. And without going on, I'm gonna go through more as I can here. But the 490 days turns out to be, it couldn't just be days, because 490 days after the command to rebuild Jerusalem, that didn't happen yet. So there are some times when days equal to years, weeks equal to time frames. Anybody got an example where somebody was told 7 days and it turned out to be 7 years?
Jacob?
Yes. He was told, fulfill her week and you can have Rachel after I snuck in Leah, Laban said. And he worked for 7 years, it says, for his wife, Rachel. So, week equal to years. It's just the way that God talks. So this is actually 70 weeks of years, or 490 years. You know what's funny? Okay. So we get all these things, and there's one final week. After all that thing, in the 69th week, guess when Jesus died? Guess when Jesus walks in to Jerusalem and rides on a donkey? In the 69th week, 69 times 7 is 489. 483. Yeah, you're right. 483 years. 483 years after the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, until Jesus rode in on a donkey, was 483 years. Is that correct? Yes. To the money. So when Jesus rides in, it is. I have a book by Anderson. I've read it since I was in Bible college the proof that Daniel's 70 weeks is absolutely the best proof that the Bible is the Word of God. It couldn't have been predicted any better. But it's those 490 days equals actually 490 years from the beginning, from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem after it had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, until this last week. Now this last week gets expanded to the tribulation. Isn't that kind of funny? How God would just describe like that. But that last week is going to be the tribulation. So, let's see if we can do some experimentation. I don't have enough room. We kind of need huge amounts of room here. So, this thing is running along. We have the birth of Jesus in a manger. We have the death of Jesus Christ. We have his resurrection. And we have his ascension. All of that happens in these 69 weeks. And at the end, from the time of Jesus' resurrection, wow, how do I describe this? What is supposed to happen is from Christ's crucifixion, and then the tribulation. The tribulation was supposed to happen right back then. Alright, you ready to be blown away? When Peter stood up and he preached in Acts chapter 2, go to Acts chapter 2 now. I'm already ahead of my notes here, but I want to sort of fill in some questions, fill in some of these gaps here. Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. Listen to him talk. Verse 14. Jennifer, start in verse 14.
So Peter standing up with the... I'm sorry, what chapter?
Chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 14.
But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come.
Fine. One before you go on. What is the day of the Lord? What's that key word, key phrase mean, Sarah?
The second.
It's his actual second coming. The day of the Lord is a very dark day. It's a deadly day. It is, according to Joel and all the minor prophets, and every time you see the word, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, it's the Battle of Armageddon. That's the day he comes back. The first time that Jesus comes, it's nice and quiet. It's nighttime. It's sweet and lowly. It's a meek. That's his first coming. His second coming, he comes in like a lion. And that's called the day of the Lord. And just before the day of the Lord, it says the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon will turn into blood, there'll be fire, hail, brimstone, blah, 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 blah. All right. That hasn't happened yet. But Peter expected it to happen, did he? He's standing there on the day of Pentecost saying, Jesus is coming back. That's why 3,000 got saved. More people get saved. In my experience, I have had more people get saved when I preached about the second coming of Christ and about the rapture than I've ever had anybody ever get saved in my preaching anything else. Now, I hold off on preaching about the second coming all the time, but I almost wish I could preach it more, because the fear of missing the rapture and the fear of facing Jesus Christ is a very good motivator for people to believe the gospel. 3,000 got saved because they believed the tribulation was about to happen right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that is what was supposed to happen. But it didn't. You might want to take a guess why it didn't. Why didn't Jesus come right? Why didn't the Antichrist take over and set up his... Because was the temple built when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost? Was the temple there? Mm-hmm. Sure was.
Yes.
And the Antichrist could have walked right in and sat down. Who was alive at that time? And actually had just committed suicide, but he could have come right back. His name was Judas. He was the first coming of the Antichrist. He could have resurrected. And boy, would people have followed him if he had been resurrected. It is phenomenal. But why didn't the tribulation begin right after Jesus' resurrection?
Is it so that the Gentiles could be saved?
It's wonderful that the Gentiles, it is so that the Gentiles could be saved, but there's a bigger reason.
It's during Pentecostal period, isn't it?
Hmm?
It's during Pentecostal period.
It is, but the Pentecost period, if you notice there, Peter's warning them and saying, go on a little bit further. You're in chapter 2, and if you will, Jennifer, if you will start reading... Verse 36.
Also, is it maybe because there were some other prophecies that hadn't been fulfilled?
Actually, no.
No.
Okay. Look at Acts chapter 2, start in verse... start in verse 32.
This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witness. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. I'm sorry.
That's right. This being the speaking in tongues.
Okay. Which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
All right, so, just for time, there's... He says there in verse 36, he says, Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that's when they said, well, what do we do then? How do we get saved from the tribulation and the coming battle? And he says, repent, believe, be baptized. He's talking to Jews. And boy, they do. But the nation of Israel, 3,000 get saved and 5,000, it's almost ready to go, almost the right thing. But they within a few chapters, when you get to chapter 7, they stone Peter and Israel closes up and stops believing, stops getting ready for the... As a matter of fact, I'll show you a little kind of a crazy scripture here. Look in chapter, Andrew, if you'll read in chapter 7, starting verse 54.
When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth.
Who's the him?
Stephen.
Yes.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Wait a minute. Where did Peter say he was?
Sitting.
So at this moment, when Stephen is being stoned, now I know you can spiritualize it and say Jesus was standing to welcome Stephen home. But that's not where... Oh, we have Hebrews that says he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right. He's our intercessor. He's not standing. So here, Stephen says, I see him. What is he effectively saying? He's ready to come back. Mm-hmm. But at that moment, when they stone Stephen, that's when Jesus sits back down and says, all right, well, wait. Jews aren't ready. And at that moment, we have an event in history that changes history. And this is what it's kind of described at. Everything's going along just fine, even with the crucifixion. That's fine. That's part of the determinate counsel, the plan of God. But then... things get skipped, and we have what's called a parenthetical. And the parenthetical is Gentiles get in. They are allowed in, and we have this church of Jews and Gentiles now. The church is just not only Jews now, but Jews and Gentiles. But before, now at this point, we are still in the 70-week scale. Things are happening for Israel. But now Gentiles get in, and they're kind of snuck in. But in a little while, the Gentiles will head up and out, and will go back to Daniel's 70 weeks. All of the things that are going on in our time frame, the last 2,000 years, weren't on God's schedule. They weren't revealed in the Old Testament. We're kind of a strange blip on the radar.
Today morning I did this before coming to church. Acts chapter 2.
Amen, amen.
And we're preaching the same thing.
Praise the Lord, amen. That's good. God confirm me. Go to Romans now. Oh.
It wasn't told about in the Old Testament.
Chapter 11.
Jesus talked about it in the New Testament.
No, it actually... No, the point is this. This is actually mentioned in the Old Testament. God knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But when God spoke to Israel about his plan, he did not say, oh, and by the way, the Gentiles are going to get in. He always hinted about it. As a matter of fact, it said, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. The Gentiles are going to get saved. Yes. But when he spoke to Israel, he never said, and you better get used to the fact that the Gentiles are going to get saved. Never said it that way. There's a lot to this. When Jesus talked about the prodigal son, who was he speaking of? The son who went away and then came home after living with harlots and throwing away all of the riches. Who was he speaking about? The unsaved getting saved? Is that what he's speaking of?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. See, the older brother were the Jews. And the Jews were going to get bitter at the fact that God would allow filthy, wicked, dog Gentiles to come home. They had been away since Abraham. And here they were coming back. And Jesus was... But he didn't tell the Jews. He didn't tell his disciples even. He said, guys, I'm talking to you about the Gentiles. Because they would have thrown him over a cliff. It was so obnoxious of a thought. So... boy, there's it'll open up your eyes to the entire New Testament. When Jesus spoke of the servants, when he said, the servant that was a servant was cast into outer darkness, where he was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know who the servant was? The unbelieving Jews. He was a servant of God. He was trying to serve God, but he wasn't believing God. So when you start to learn Jew and Gentile, you start to see things on the scale of, man, God dealt with the Jews and he was very respectful of the Jews, but the Jews never got the picture. God, when he brought in the Gentile church, it stopped the clock. So if you have if you ever watched a game and the referee says and he times out, all right, well, things can happen and they go into extra time. All right, the schedule says you're only supposed to play a match in 60 minutes, but the match has gone on for 90 minutes. It's because there's an extra time being built in. So at the stoning of Stephen, God stops his clock and allows the Gentiles to get in to the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, and then he pulls us all out and then starts the last week up again. Let me show you Daniel chapter 11. Andrew, I want you to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 11.
Romans or Daniel?
I said Romans.
Romans.
Romans chapter 11. Oh.
Verse 1.
I say then, as God cast away his people, certainly not, for I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed like knee to Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer of grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer of grace, otherwise work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. The rest were blinded.
Okay, hold there for a minute. So, going through there, verse 2, God had not cast away his people. He's speaking of the fact that now there are a bunch of Gentiles in Romans chapter 11. Gentiles are in the church. What happened to this plan is what everybody was asking. What does it say there, Sarah? You read it in Daniel. It says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel. Well, what happened to Daniel's people? What happened to God's people? Did God throw away Israel? And now it's all the church, the church, the church. And Paul is saying, no. There's still an elect. There's still a special place the Jews have. And verse 7 says, what then? Israel have not attained that which he seeketh for. What is he seeking for? He's seeking the end of transgression, the end of sins, the reconciliation for all iniquity, everlasting righteousness. Israel as a nation is supposed to be waiting for all visions and prophecies to be fulfilled and for the anointing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right after the Battle of Armageddon. That's what they're seeking for. It hasn't happened yet. Verse 8 now.
God, just as it, God has given them a spirit of stupor.
Or slumber. I like slumber better. Where they're like sleeping. Israel is asleep.
Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let the table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always.
Keep going.
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But to their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if there is fall, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?
Okay, now he asks a great question. He says, if by Israel being knocked out of the way for a little while. So let's just put it this way. So the time plan goes, and then they are diverted. It's kind of like a, when you're going on a, when they're doing road works, they get you to go around, and then they're back on track. So Israel's now on a diverted path. They have not been thrown away. The church is the main thing. It's filled with what kind of people? Jews and Gentiles. So this is an unusual event going on. Israel will get back on and become the main thing again. But because of their mess up, because of their rejection of Christ and their crucifixion of Christ, the Gentiles have gotten in, and we want to keep going. And if the fall of them has made the world richer, and the diminution of them, the riches to the Gentiles, how much more one day their fullness? If this is good, how much better will it be when Israel's back in their proper place? Verse 13.
For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is a reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be? But life from the dead.
So when Israel gets saved, it's as if they're being resurrected. This nation that was left for dead has now been resurrected. Keep going.
For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches.
Okay, so we got a tree. What is the root of the tree of Israel? What's its root?
Should be holy.
Yes, but who was its root? Let me ask it that way.
Jesus.
It's Abraham. And if Abraham was holy and right, then the fruit is going to, at some point, going to be holy. That's the point. The Israel has a good beginning. It has the good, it has the right root, and its fruit will one day be right. Okay. The only reason why we're any good is because we've been. I don't have enough room, but if you've got a tree, and this tree here, its root is Abraham. Up here, there's a branch here, and I want you to see in a moment that these branches are all Jewish until God breaks off one of the branches and puts the Gentiles in. Verse 17.
And if some of the branches are broken off, and you've been a wild olive tree.
Who's the wild olive tree? He said, you are the wild olive. So who is the you? The Gentiles. Okay, we don't belong in this tree. The tree of Israel is a fruit-bearing olive tree. We're a wild olive tree. We're very bitter. Nobody would eat fruit from a wild olive tree. So he says, you are the wild olive tree, and you were what?
Wild olive tree, and some of the branches are broken off, and you've been a wild olive tree, but captured in among them, and with them become a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
So what does graft mean? If you are grafted in.
Cutting off.
Well, if you...
cutting out from that good fruit.
If you got a branch, and what happens is this, you take a branch and you cut it of a normal tree that has produced fruit, and you put in a branch that doesn't have any fruit on it, and you graft it in, and then you wrap around it to hold it together. So you've cut a branch, like cutting off my arm, and then grafting on a new arm, and then the goodness of that branch then goes into this wild olive tree branch, and all of a sudden you get fruit. Olive fruit, and it's good fruit because it was grafted in. And these are us Gentiles. Gentiles have been grafted into a Jewish tree. Does anybody make sense of that? Does anybody understand that? All right, because we're not really farmers today, we're so far from a farm, we don't understand that. But every Jew knew the Gentiles have been grafted in to the Jewish tree. We don't have time. I'm going to have to stop there. So he says, don't boast. Well, you're going to have to read it on. Go on there, because I want to see how one of these days that branch is going to be broken off again, this new branch.
Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you.
That's right. The root is Jewish. Our Bible is Jewish. Our Savior is Jewish. So everything about us, everything good about us, are the Jews. All right, keep going. 18. Or verse 19.
Yeah, you will say then, branches have broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they have broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear.
Mm-hmm.
But if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell. Severity, is it?
Yes, severity, that's harshness.
Severity, but toward you. Goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off.
Mm.
And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, it will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
Alright, who's the them?
Jesus.
No, the Jews have been broken off. Gentiles have been grafted in. But don't be so haughty, high-minded. Don't be so proud, thinking, oh, now I'm the end. No, you're not. You're only a blip on the radar. The Jews are coming back in. The Gentiles will become worshippers of who?
Jesus.
No. In the future, they're going to be worshippers of the Antichrist. And the Jews are going to go, we're out of here, because that guy can't be the Messiah, and they will get saved and they'll run for their lives and they'll be hunted. So what you're looking at in chapter 6 is the beginning of the tribulation. It is the Gentile church is where in the tribulation?
Not there.
It's gone. Because what is the tribulation? Let's go back to our notes here. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. Now Andrew, find Jeremiah 30 and verse 7.
Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
Wow. And, all right, so this is a time of whose trouble?
Jacob's.
All right. I know I got a lot of stuff on the board, but I want you to see that this period, these 70 weeks, are 70 weeks for Israel, for Daniel's people, all right? 70 weeks of years. Or 490 years. This is, and this last period of time, the tribulation, is the time of Jacob's trouble. What's another word for Jacob?
Israel.
Okay, so this is Israel. So if you find Christians in the tribulation, couldn't get rid of this. If you find Christians in the tribulation, they didn't go into it. They got saved in it. The only reason why there would be any Christians in the tribulation, these 7 years, the only reason why there'd be any Christians in the tribulation is because they got saved in the tribulation. But they didn't come into it by the church. The church doesn't go through the tribulation. There is no pre-wrath rapture for the church. There's a pre-tribulational rapture for the church. And then where are we back again? It's all Jacob, Israel, and their trouble. It is their time of trouble or judgment. And so the 7 years of tribulation are for what group of people?
Israel.
Who gets judged? The whole world does. But it's to bring Israel to salvation. It's to get them, it's to drive them back to God. all right, so your second fill in the blank there is Jacob's trouble. And your third fill in the blank, still on A. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 is the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, youngin. 1 Thessalonians 1:10.
What's this Jacob's trouble?
The first one is Daniel's 70 week. The second blank is Jacob's trouble. And the third one is the wrath to come.
And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
All right, so the wrath to come. Huh? Did Jesus save us only from Armageddon? Not at all. He saved us from what we read there in chapter 6, says the wrath of God is the whole time of tribulation. All right, there is no longer any mention of any church in the book of Revelation until chapter 20. So, Sarah, if you're reading along in Revelation chapter 1, you'll see the word church over and over. Chapter 2, you'll find the word church, churches. Chapter 3, church. Chapter 4, it's not there. Chapter 5, it's not there. 6, it's not there. 7, no word of church. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Guess where the word church shows up again? Chapter 20. So it's like somebody doesn't want you to think that a church is going through the tribulation. It's as if it's not there, because it's not there. There's no churches going through the tribulation. You're going up at the rapture, and then the tribulation begins. Number C. The judgment that is about to begin is loosed upon the world in conjunction with the release of 7 deadly seals. Now those aren't seals. Those are seals like off of a letter. These seals are binding the book that Jesus took out of the Father's hand back in Revelation chapter 5, verse 7. Remember, John is watching all this unfold from the vantage point of heaven, and he's outside of time, so he's looking way off in the future. Now, what the tribulation is, Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. So what is the fatal error that a person who believes that Christians and the church is going to go through the tribulation? What's the fatal error, Andrew?
Why
would they believe that Christians in the church are going to go into the tribulation and going to last until the very last minute before the final judgments and the Battle of Armageddon? Why would they think that they are going to go into the tribulation? Well, it's not that they think they're Jews.
I mean, we just read in Romans, you know, we're going to be broken off and it's going to be about the Jews again. So they think that they don't realize that, you know, it's going to be all about the Jews once again.
That's the point. That this all is about the Jews.
Yeah.
The clock, the schedule, God's day timer. Mm-hmm. It's all about Israel. Oh, and by the way, the Jews are on at 4 o'clock. I'm sorry, the Gentiles are on at 4 o'clock, but the rest of my schedule is all about Jews. Mm-hmm. It's all about Israel. It's all about the descendants of Abraham. Mm-hmm. The only reason why I have the blessings of God is because I've been adopted into the family, because I believe in the God of Abraham. I didn't get any other goodness. I'm trusting the Savior of the Jews. Mm-hmm. What was his name on the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So his whole schedule is about Jews. And the fatal error that Christians have today about the rapture, mm-hmm, is they think that there's no the Jews are all done away with. Mm-hmm. everything that talks about Israel really is about us. No, if it says Israel, it means Israel. It doesn't mean the Jews, the Gentiles. So, let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 21. Are we back to Sarah?
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
All right, what a word. Great tribulations, bad days. All right, now we already read Daniel chapter 9. We'll look at it more again in a little while. And then we also saw Jeremiah 30, verse 7, which talks about Jacob's. And the word is trouble. Now, when you think of the word trouble, you just think of, well, I'm in trouble with my dad. But this kind of trouble is like the worst kind of trouble. It is punishment trouble. So the time of tribulation is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. The 1 year figures for each day of the first 69 weeks listed. And that made for 483 years from the time that the decree to build the city of Jerusalem to the Jews' final rejection of Christ when he was crucified. Each Jewish year doesn't consist of 365 and a quarter days, but only 360 days. So when Jesus was crucified, all that calendar was stopped, leaving one remaining week yet in the future. All right? Does everybody understand that? I have to erase all this stuff so that you get this. All right. Get rid of this. So, if you had a huge, long board and you were able to line out all of the weeks, all right, and I mean, this is how it is. These are how many weeks?
70.
All right, 70 weeks. 70. I'm not going to guess how many I have here. But each one of these things is a week. All right, and then it ends. So we're going to pretend like I have done 70 strikes here across. All right, I've done 69, say. There are 69. Now, each one of these blocks, how much time passes in that strike? No. That is 1 week.
Oh, 7 years.
2 weeks. 3 weeks. So that is 1 week, which is 7 days. All right. This is a lot of time. That's my point. It's not just 70 weeks. I mean, 70 weeks is a year and a half, if it's by weeks. But we know that those are seven days, but those are actually 7 years. Are you with me? So pretend like each one of those strikes are 7 years. Now, when you come down here, and this is 69. This is number 69. I need you to go back to Daniel. Chapter 9. Jennifer, you're reading just verse 25. Well, 25 and 26.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks.
Hold. So 7 weeks? Wow. All right. So let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Plus how many more?
62.
All right. 60 is 20 plus 20. Plus 20, plus 2, which equals?
62.
So I've got 7 plus 62 equals?
69.
Ha ha! Next verse, keep going. Oh, keep going to that verse. Verse 25. So.
Sorry. Okay, the street shall be built again. And the wall, even in troublous times.
I wanted to say, I know and understand It shall be 7 weeks and 70 weeks. Until who? Until the Messiah, the Prince. So how many weeks until the Messiah comes?
69 weeks.
7 plus 62 is 69. So we come up here and we hit 69 and we have Jesus, the Messiah. And it says something very amazing here. Oh, this is going to be crazy because Jesus does a lot of crazy things here. This last week, the 69th week, all right, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 69 weeks. The street will be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Verse 26.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself.
Hold. So after the 69th week, at the end of the 69th week, Jesus is cut off. What does that mean? Huh?
Killed.
He's murdered. All right, but not for himself. He's not murdered. He's murdered as a criminal, but he did nothing wrong. Isn't that kind of cute how he says it? He was cut off, but it wasn't for anything that he did. So at the end, now we're at the end of the 69 weeks. What's the next week after 69?
70.
All right. So there's one more week to go, isn't there? That's why Peter got up there and says, at any moment, he's coming back. At any moment, the tribulations are starting. At the any moment, that last week is about to start. That's what he was believing. I would have believed it. I would have agreed with Peter. So, but the problem is that week hasn't started yet, has it? Not at all. So I just want to see, after 62 weeks, after these last 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off? And there's more to go. I just want to move a little bit faster here. So, there is, if that's true, Jesus is come and gone. What about the last week? Where is it? It is yet to happen. So we'll create a parenthesis here, a bubble. And then there is one more week left to go, isn't there? Correct? So what is in this bubble?
Jew
and Gentile. Church. Was the church back in all of this?
No.
No, that's Israel. Is the church here?
No.
Back in Israel, aren't we? Jacob's trouble. Does that make any sense? The fatal error is that people think they forget about this schedule. They forget about all 69 weeks leading up to Jesus and him riding on the donkey. On Sunday, the first day of the week, in preparation for Passover and everything, they forget all of these things and the timing. At the end of the 7 years, his timing was perfect, and then he's gone. And because Jews and Gentiles are in the church, they then know that the tribulation is going to happen, but they keep the church into the tribulation. That's stupid. The church doesn't go into the tribulation. This last week is that big thing that I told you was 7 years. And that's all about Israel. It's not about the church. It's about getting Israel saved. It's about all of the things that are going to happen just before the millennium. So Sarah, what's the next thing after Israel, after the tribulation?
Long reign.
That's right. How long is that reign?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. That's what millennium means. So we have the millennium happening after this one final week of the tribulation. Right now, if you looked at the whole scale of things, it looks like the tribulation is not a big deal. But it's a very big deal, isn't it? And a lot of the Bible is about that final week. A lot of the Old Testament doesn't see this. A lot of the Old Testament doesn't focus on this. It focuses on the day of the Lord and the reign of the Lord. So it's just kind of cool. Now, so when Jesus was crucified, the timing stopped, leaving that remaining 7-year week yet in the future. This last week of the 70 weeks will be the worst 7 years in history. He calls it in Matthew chapter, we read it, chapter 24. It says, great tribulations, never been before or after. The Antichrist will be enthroned, Christians will be gone, and before it all ends, over half the population of the world will be destroyed. Now there are six purposes for the 70th week. We read it in Daniel chapter 9. Number A, to finish the transgressions, referring to the rejection of God as king in Israel. Finish off that transgression, tie it off, and they'll get right. It'll make an end of sins. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 20. This will be the time of the most gross sins, just before sin is rendered powerless. To make reconciliation for iniquity, let's go to Zechariah 12:10. Andrew, Zechariah 12:10.
And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn.
Wow, that's speaking of Jesus. Look at verse 11.
In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as a mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon.
All right, you said Megiddon, but what's another word for Megiddon?
Armageddon.
That's Armageddon. That's the Valley of Armageddon. We're dealing with the end of the tribulation, when God makes reconciliation for iniquity through Christ. Now the result, that's God and his people once again be reconciled, and Israel will be born again in a day. Go to Isaiah 66:8. Romeo, Isaiah 66 and verse 8.
Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Mm. Or shall the nation be born at once?
Good question.
But as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children.
Wow. So speaking of the future, where Zion, spiritual name for Israel, will give birth to a nation. Shall the earth give birth to a nation in one day? Yep. That's their new birth as a nation. They get saved in the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, actually in the middle of the tribulation. D, to bring in everlasting righteousness, where God destroys sin. E, to seal up the vision, the prophecy, once Jesus returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation, there is no further need for visions and prophecies and prophets and apostles, and to anoint the most holy. Come on in, to make Jesus Christ literally and physically king of this planet. So, let me just run through three. We'll talk about it more next week. We'll take a break here after this. During the tribulation, you'll have the regathering of Israel. Has that already happened? Mm-hmm. It most certainly has.
Well, yeah,
the regathering of Israel. Amen. That's why since 1948, there is such a great interest in the Bible again, because it proves that things are happening that shouldn't be happening. Israel's back in the land. The revealing of the Antichrist, that hasn't happened yet. Unless you think Barack Obama is the Antichrist, I don't know. The revealing of the Antichrist, he's referred to as the man of sin, the son of perdition, and that wicked one. The rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, a worldwide requirement for idol worship. The recruitment of a satanic army for the Antichrist for Armageddon, turning against Armageddon. The regeneration of the remnant of the Jews, where all the Jews will be saved, and the return of the Savior at the end of the tribulation. All right, we have to stop there. But tribulation is a cool subject, especially since we don't have to go there. Mm-hmm. I love I love reading about World War II because I wasn't there. Anybody who ever went to Vietnam, I actually was a buff. I loved history of Vietnam. The people I met, and I know several Christians who were in Vietnam, they never want to talk about it. So you can enjoy learning about something you don't have to go through. Amen. All right. Let's take a break.